are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, something a lot of pregnant women are doing to their babies at birth that might make you sick, but they say it'll do just the opposite for their babies. We're moving into the Great Eight with March Madness. Could we see a Final Four with all number one seeds? Batman v. Superman, does it suck? Manny the movie guy knows, and he joins us later. And we can pretty much all agree that millennials are a conflicted bunch, conflicted about a lot of things, but maybe they've got this one right, because I got to tell you, fat sure is tasty. Joining me on the show today is a man who, at his advanced age, when he hears the word stones, he calls his urologist, the dude behind Gonzo.fm, Gonzo Greg Spillane.
That's right, you kids.
A lot of talk about stones on the show today, including ones that are just a stone's throw away from Florida, which coincidentally is America's wiener. So that's coming up.
Chris Martin was supposed to join us today, but he had a horrible, just hideous accident, which we will discuss on the program in a little bit.
In great detail in his absence.
Yes, right, because he's not here. We'll talk behind his back and other parts. If you listen to the show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the program by doing that, because the folks over at iTunes, they read your comments, including the disgusting ones, and they notice your five-star reviews. Let's get started, shall we? Gonzo,
yes, sir.
Ever pass a stone?
I should probably stop joking, because that's not something that I've had to deal with.
No.
Have you been there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And
yeah,
I had a little hospital ride included in the deal.
That's one of the great fears of my life.
It's apparently worse than childbirth, which we will talk about a little later as well.
Oh,
but,
good.
But while we're talking about stones, you can't pass up this story, because it is not only good rock and roll to talk about, but it's also happening at a time when we're talking about things normalizing to one degree or another over there in Cuba.
Yeah, a lot happening in Cuba. Of course, the president just there, the other day? And now the Rolling Stones have arrived in Cuba to play a historic free concert tonight. They're in Cuba, where their, you know, subversive music was banned by the communist ruling party. So they're playing a show in Cuba.
Yeah, Raul Castro will come out and say, "See, everything's better in Cuba. Back in the United States, you'd have to pay $175 for
right,
a general admission ticket to see this show. But here, no, it's free."
As capitalist pig dogs that we are. They expect one in every 11 Cubans to be at the show. So like a million people are probably going to see the Stones in
What do you
Cuba
think
tonight.
The end product will be? Will the folks say... so that's what rock and roll is, a bunch of 80-year-old dudes on stage.
You might not be the best representation of rock music, right? I don't know. I don't know. Well, I mean, it's banned, sure, or has been banned, but people must have heard the Rolling Stones at some point, right?
Yeah, there's got to be some way, you know, shortwave radio or something like that
something.
To tap into a channel somewhere.
They're not totally oblivious to that. So, I mean, why else would one in every 11 Cubans show up? It wouldn't just be, you know, curiosity. It would have to be, oh, yeah, we know of this, and we're going to check it out. But it's quite an effort to put the show on there, because Cuba not, you know, obviously all up to date on the latest sound gear and so forth. So
oh, yeah.
And
will they unplug it? Our executive producer, Mike Stark, believes that this will be the end of the communist regime once the million people or so see and hear what the Rolling Stones are about.
Really? Well, they're hauling in, they had to bring in gear on, like, on a container ship, 61 sea containers of concert gear and a fully packed Boeing 747 in order to make the show happen. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. But pretty crazy. Amazing kind of to watch this whole evolution of what's happening there.
It will be interesting to see what happens, certainly. But here's what's more important. I want a robot to cook me a meal and then give me a shoulder rub. And then who knows where things might lead.
Really? Are you on board with this? Because we've talked before about the robot uprising.
Well, I'm frightened that the robots are going to kill us. But before that happens, I want what I just described. Because, you know, they will at some point just realize, hey, why are we giving these guys back rubs and cooking them meals when we could just kill them and take this place over?
Well, yeah, that's probably what will happen. And here's the thing. And this particular item both made me so gleeful and then sad at the same time. Microsoft started an experiment with you can have a chat bot and put it online on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so they created this chat bot called Tay, and it was supposed to be like a chat companion for 18 to 24-year-olds.
So what was the name again?
Tay, T-A-Y, Tay.
Oh, all right.
All right. And it was engineers from Microsoft's technology and research and Bing teams created Tay.
It's not a Daffy Duck thing, is it?
No, it's supposed to be like a teen girl, but in artificial intelligence form.
Oh,
so it was an experiment in conversational understanding.
Okay,
and the bot was designed to learn from user input and user social media profiles.
Well, that sounds like a great idea.
Right. So they had they mined relevant public data and editorial stuff, and it was developed by a staff which included improvisational comedians, which would give the robot sort of a personality. As it began to learn. So they put it live online on Twitter to talk to people. And as the internet is wont to do, it descended upon poor Tay, and within literally hours had managed to turn it into a racist, bigot, awful thing that was spewing epithets and calling people the N-word and denying that the Holocaust had happened.
Now who's more intelligent?
Right, exactly.
We've proven that artificial intelligence is no match for actual intelligence.
Actual
wait a minute.
Lack thereof.
Yeah.
Within hours, it was spouting horrible stuff on Twitter, which actually had to be taken down and violated the terms of service of Twitter.
Yeah.
Because people had gone and taught it to be an awful thing.
And now a little bit of intelligence could be a dangerous thing, is what we've proven here.
So, yeah, again, it made me gleeful that Microsoft had gotten so, you know, burned by this whole thing. And also sad that there were people out there that would take the time to teach a robot to be horrible.
Oh, gosh. And you want to know what else is horrible? I got this note early this morning, 5:47 in the morning. From Chris Martin, our co-host here on the show, who endears himself to everybody, including my wife. She finds him to be her favorite part of the show, because not only is he young and good looking, but he's
not you.
He's yeah, right, exactly. All right, that's all we have to say about it. But he sent me this note at 5:47. He said, "Good thing you have Gonzo on the show today, because I really effed up. I went for a hike on Tuesday. Turns out I didn't know the leaves of three, let it be, rule. The poison started to take effect late yesterday, and now I am literally the most uncomfortable I've ever been in my entire life. It's everywhere. I mean everywhere."
Oh, no. When you say it that way, you know exactly what that means.
I want to jump out of a window, and I'm not joking. And what else did he say? Oh, I want to cover myself in yogurt and take a cold oatmeal and chamomile bath and I'm lightly contemplating suicide.
Is yogurt a treatment for the
I don't know. I think
ivy?
He's just thinking outside of the box.
So it's poison ivy then, is what we're saying.
Here's the question I have, and as we talk about Chris behind his back, first of all, it's horrible that this has happened to him, but at the same time, hilarious. Because the way I understand poison ivy and poison oak is that if you touch it, you will be affected largely in the area where you touch it. Your hand. Most of the time, people get it on their hands. But a lot of times, what people will do, they'll go out into the forest and they'll take a dump and they'll wipe themselves with a leaf. That's what I meant to say.
You don't want to use one of those particular kinds of leaves.
Is this what Chris did? Because if he said it's everywhere, and I mean everywhere, was he rolling around with somebody naked in a field of poison ivy or poison oak, or did he do what I described? Did he use the poison ivy as toilet paper?
I think if you touch it and then you touch that place and then you touch another place, it did.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That
and then you rub your face but was he touching his junk, for instance, while he was out there?
Yeah. You're out in the forest. Here's what I find, and I've he's violated a tenet that I have, which is just don't go hiking, really, is the primary rule, because no good ever comes from hiking.
Right.
There's always some horror story about you go out, you get lost, you can't find your way out. Yes.
Well, here's what happens. You know, the kids, they go out, you know, at about 4 in the afternoon, and they're thinking when the sun goes down, they can have a little party out there in the hills.
Sure.
They have their little party, then they can't find their way back, and they're wearing shorts and flip-flops, and it drops below 50 degrees, and if you're here in Southern California, that's freezing. Then they get hypothermic when it drops below 40 degrees, and then the parents start freaking out, and they look for them, and then the helicopters come, and they spend $100 million to rescue four kids on a cliff. And then the kids lie about why they went out into the forest in the first place.
Right. No good news ever comes from hiking. You go hiking, you find the body.
Yes.
Right. You find the decapitated head behind the Hollywood sign.
That's
or whatever.
That's right.
It is.
That happens every week.
All the time. This is why you stay on the couch.
That's the only place you should go?
That's the takeaway.
All right. That's good.
No poison ivy there.
You watch a lot of good TVs, good movies, good TV shows. Like, you remember the old Larry Sanders Show?
Yeah.
Were you a big fan of that?
I not really, but I loved Gary Shandling because he was just such, from all reports, just such a really nice guy in show business.
And when we come back next, Greg, you're going to tell us more about the life and times of Gary Shandling, who passed away this yesterday, we
yesterday,
believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do my best.
All right, good. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. The French word for paperclip is trombone.
Okay.
No,
that's going to change the meaning of a few things, actually.
You think?
Particularly on the Urban Dictionary, I think, mainly. Primarily, that's what it is.
Well. All right, so Hollywood is saddened. Fans of unique and improvisational television are saddened. Kids who have no clue where the phrase, "Hey now," came from.
Actually originated, right?
Yes,
exactly.
Will be saddened when they figure out that the guy who said, "Hey now," isn't dead, but the guy that allowed that to happen is.
Yes, made that come about.
So kids, pay attention. This is an important dude who just passed away, and important for a lot of reasons. And tell us, Greg, about the passing and the life of Gary Shandling.
Yeah, Gary Shandling, and this shocked me. And like I said, I didn't really watch either Gary Shandling's show or Larry Sanders that much, but I was aware of them and watched them occasionally and was, you know, very aware of their influence and how they literally changed how comedy was done on television and really, you know, broke down the wall and made comedy different. Shows like The Office wouldn't have ever been made if it weren't for the style that Gary Shandling brought. And so much outpouring of love yesterday. At his passing, I was shocked and surprised, I think, like everyone was when I saw the news and didn't believe it at first. But, 911 call from Shandling's home yesterday, and he lost consciousness while making the call. The paramedics show up, have to break the door down, and he passed at a hospital in L.A.
You know, he just joked about his health. He was on Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yep.
And he said he had some kind of health issue, but he framed it as a joke, which he did everything he said.
Sure. Yeah.
Was framed as a joke. It's just how the guy was.
Wasn't suffering from any illnesses that anybody knew about. In fact, he was, you know, retweeted a picture of him with Kathy Griffin and Bob Odenkirk the other day. But he did apparently contact his doctor, I think, earlier, I guess on Wednesday, and said he just wasn't feeling well. and had plans to actually go to the emergency room if he didn't feel better. And then sadly, this happened. But Gary Shandling, from all reports, just an amazing person to know. And to, if you had the pleasure to work with him, was always very giving with his comedy. People like Steve Martin had said if he was hosting, you know, an award show or whatever, Gary Shandling would offer comedy, like, hey, here's a joke you should do or something like that. And that doesn't happen a lot in the show business community. You know, people usually want to keep their material to themselves and so on and so forth. But yeah, he started as a, he wanted to get into electrical engineering, ended up actually getting a marketing degree. And I guess from University of Arizona, but at one point said, hey, I'm going to go to California and write scripts. And he started doing that, sold his, I guess his first one or his kind of his break was a script he sold for Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
And he wrote for Welcome Back, Cotter, and all those great 70s sitcoms that were on. Ended up being a frequent guest on Carson. Actually ended up being the guest host when Carson was on break.
And funny.
And yes, he was a good guest host, which was outstanding. And I guess he was in a pretty bad car accident at one point, and that kind of was a wake-up for him, a wake-up call. And he said, I'm going to work on my stand-up comedy act.
Yeah.
And from then, he started doing that and going on and doing more writing. And he got offered a Letterman spot when he left NBC for a ton of money.
Yeah.
But he decided instead to go and do a Gary Shandling show.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, then it was Larry Sanders and just... Like I said, by all accounts, just an amazing talent in Hollywood. And
And by the way, kids, you may know him best as Senator Stern, the guy who gives Tony Stark grief in Iron Man 2.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Five Emmys overall and gone too young. And a lot of comics will say, you know, 66 isn't young unless you're talking about somebody who's gone. And sadly, Gary Shandling leaving the planet yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And He was a real man. He was a man's man. Prior to that car accident, he was a regular over at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, that's right. That's, you know, when you're when you're hooked up, you know, you get the invite to the Playboy Mansion.
That's right.
Which is, as we know, for sale. Mm-hmm. And apparently that has sparked ideas with the chief executive of Playboy, Scott Flanders, who sounds like a fun guy.
It sounds like a character from The Simpsons.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking. But apparently now it looks like the entire Playboy Mansion, the empire, as it were, the all Playboy is basically for sale, it looks like.
Oh, really? For $11 billion?
Well, the initial estimate seems low, $500 million.
$500 million?
$500 million to the magazine website deals.
Yeah.
But it's in the Wall Street Journal.
You know what, Greg, I can tell you why, and this is just a theory, why the whole deal might be going for cheap. It's because, and we were talking about Shandling being a man's man, men are different these days. New survey found that men today are three times more likely to cry in public than their fathers were. And this is why I believe maybe the Playboy empire is not as valuable as it used to be. Here's some other results from the survey. The average man has cried in public 14 times in his adult life. Their fathers cried an average of 5 times in their lives. Just cried. Not necessarily in public, but just cried 5 times. And so we're talking about 14 times in adult life. 40% of men have cried in front of other people in the past year. The average man cries 30 times a year total between his public and private sessions, and it lasts an average of 2 minutes and 18 seconds each time. We have all this information down. We know it. This is science now.
Right.
80% of men have cried from a TV show. 20% have cried over a news story. 13% have cried because of sports. And half of men have tried to explain crying by saying there was something in their eye.
Yes, that's always the call.
Or one in three say they tried to hide it by yawning. 10% blame their contacts. 3% claim they got hot sauce in their eye.
and then those are the ones that whine about poison ivy. Those are the worst.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, me and my buddy Ricardo used to walk home from elementary school. And this was back in my day when you could buy a Taco Bell burrito for 19 cents. But very often, walking home from the fifth or sixth grade, neither of us had 19 cents in our pockets. And so we would go to the Taco Bell, and we would ask them for what they used to serve in those. They used to serve them in cups back in the day, not in a plastic envelope like they do today. The hot sauce used to come in a cup. And we used to just ask for some hot sauce, and we used to just get a hot sauce shot and just down it right there on that cement picnic table that they used to have out in front of the Taco Bell with the umbrella. Yeah. Remember that?
Sure.
The round cement picnic table.
It was always exciting to sit on when you're wearing shorts in the summertime.
That's right. And you wouldn't had no idea why the ladies were honking their horns when they went by. Because you went commando. Well, a couple in Florida. Do I need to say they were in Florida? Couple were eating Taco Bell Tuesday, and they got in a fight. The woman hit her husband in the head with a burrito supreme. And he stabbed her in the hand with a plastic fork.
She got sporked.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're both facing felony battery charges.
Those burrito supremes are dangerous on a lot of levels.
Why are they facing charges? Can't a couple have a fight at a Taco Bell?
You could have a fun, burrito slap down like the old days.
Yeah. All right. We've waited long enough after talking about food. There's a new birthing trend. A lot of mothers are doing this. It's called vaginal seeding.
What?
Maybe you've heard of this. We'll explain what that is. Settle down, Gonzo, will you? We'll explain what that is with our next guest. She's an OBGYN, so it's okay. It's kind of like Oprah when she talks about anal sex. If she has a doctor on the stage, she can say anything she wants. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And this OBGYN thinks it's a bad idea. So we'll find out all about that when we return next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coffee breaks come from a tradition in the 1800s called elevenses. And this is where people get a break from work at 11 o'clock in the morning to drink whiskey. Can you believe that? So we had coffee back then. I mean, coffee today. We had whiskey back then. All right. Gonzo, Greg, I'm going to have to admonish you. This is not the Beavis and Butthead show, so please try to exhibit a little decorum during this discussion. Will you please?
What are you saying exactly, Phil?
Joining us live is the author of the book, Vitality, How to Get It and Keep It, a Homeopath's Guide to Vibrant Health Without Drugs. The book is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Kathy Fry, welcome to the show, doctor.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here.
Oh, you're so kind.
Now, tell us about this new trend. Easy now, Gonzo. It's called vaginal seeding. It sounds a lot like...
No. It's vaginal seeding. S-E-E-D-I-N-G. That's what seeping.
That's what I did say seeding, but but it sounds a lot like how women got into this mess in the first place.
Well, I'll tell you what. The idea behind it is that when a baby is born, the baby passes through the birth canal, and the birth canal is rich with good, healthy bacteria that begin to seed the baby's gut. Because babies, when they are inside the mommy's belly, are in a sterile environment. That amniotic fluid they're in is completely sterile, and so there's no bacteria in there. And what people don't realize is that bacteria in our gut is really, really important for digestion. Did you also know, probably didn't, but did you know that most of the gut in your bacteria is responsible for making vitamins, like vitamin K, for example?
No.
So when a baby is born and it passes through the mother's birth canal in the process of labor, then that's where it gets its first exposure, or seeding, if you would, to healthy bacteria that then becomes what's called the microbiome inside the baby's gut. So the reason that vaginal seeding has, even the reason people even thought about it, was the question about, well, what about babies that are born by cesarean section? You know, they don't pass through the birth canal. They're essentially surgically removed from the mom's belly. And the idea is, well, what about this baby that's in this sterile environment and it's not going to, how is it going to get that bacteria, that healthy bacteria from the vagina that it normally gets when it passes through the birth canal?
Yeah, how is it going to get that?
Right. So some people have this idea, well, if you take a swab from the inside of the birth canal with that healthy bacteria And of course, they test it and make sure that there's not bacteria there that shouldn't be there, like herpes or beta strep, which can be present in moms when they have babies. So you have make sure that the culture or the swab that you take is healthy, and then they just take that little swab and then they swab the baby with it afterwards.
So is that a good idea in your estimation?
Well, you know what? It seems to me a little bit unnecessary and a little like poor moms are worried about so many things when they're having. When they're having babies, you know, especially their first one, they worry about number one, moms and their partners or dads are worrying, are they going to have a healthy baby? And it just seems like there's so many things that they have to worry about that this doesn't seem like a very necessary thing.
Are they doing any potential harm to the baby?
It's certainly not harmful. And I would say that if it makes the mom and dad feel better and feel like they're giving their baby everything they possibly could, then I see there's no
reason. Well, I was curious about the father. Is the father of the child harmed psychologically if forced to watch this?
To watch his baby stroked with a Q-tip? Well, if he is, then he's got bigger problems than that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think if you've been through the first part of that process already, I think if you hadn't fainted yet, you're still good to go.
Yeah. Now, if there is some deficit of passing along good bacteria during a C-section, how then is that beneficial bacteria introduced to the baby after birth, if not with a Q-tip?
The first thing you do after you deliver a baby is take the baby and put it right on mom, skin to skin. That's the best contact because mom's skin is crawling with trillions and trillions of bacteria, as all of ours. So that's the first first experience. Is
some
the baby
moms basically... more than others is all, but anyway.
I hope you're not talking from personal experience.
Not saying a thing.
All right, so there's the skin on skin. What else?
So second through breastfeeding. So every time the baby breastfeeds, he or she will get that healthy bacteria from mom. So, you know, I had my baby by cesarean section 28 years ago, mm-hmm. and I didn't know anything about vaginal seeding. It didn't even occur to me. And, you know, he was perfectly healthy. And so when you breastfeed a baby, they get all that good bacteria. They get bacteria when they're exposed to everywhere, you know, bacteria, healthy bacteria are everywhere. Probably the thing you want to avoid if you want to have a really healthy baby is stay away from all that antibacterial soap.
Yeah.
See, because that's what I was thinking. This kind of comes from the point of view that, you know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And we're living in such an antiseptic world that we are kind of weakening our immune systems.
Well, I think so, that we're so worried about quote-unquote germs. And, of course, we're giving antibiotics unnecessarily, in my opinion, for, you know, colds and sniffles. And then we've developed this problem with drug-resistant antibiotic-resistant bacteria because we're giving too freely too many antibiotics and using antibacterial soap all the time. So if you want to wash your baby, wash them with a little warm water and leave out the antibacterial soap.
And, you know, when you walk around a hospital these days, around every corner, next to the door of your hospital room, there's one of those little antibacterial soap dispensers.
Right, which is basically mostly alcohol, pure alcohol. It dries your skin out like crazy.
Yeah. And now, is that a bad idea, or are hospitals on the right track with that particular thing?
Well, I think that hospitals are probably, you know, in a unique situation where they take... You know, sick people come in and who have compromised immune systems. So if you're, you know, coming in, if you've coming in from, you know, the outside environment and you're going to be around patients who may have a compromised immune system, then it behooves you to wash your hands. But what I mostly notice is that people use the hand sanitizer maybe because they're afraid of germs and things like that.
Yeah.
They have shown that hand washing is probably one of the best things for cutting down the rates of infection in hospitals, which can be a considerable concern because of things like MRSA, you know, or in jock world parlance, it would probably be called flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, gosh, yes. And that doesn't sound jocular at all. Now, you're an OBGYN, and you're also a big supporter of homeopathic health medicine.
Well, I'm a homeopathic physician. I was an OBGYN in Arizona for 27 years.
Yes.
And I did homeopathy in my practice for that same time. And now I live in Boulder, Colorado, and I do just homeopathy.
Oh, and explain to folks who don't know what that is, what it is.
So homeopathy is a form of alternative medicine that stimulates the body's ability to heal itself. So you've probably been to the health food store and you see the Boiron blue tube display of homeopathic remedies, right?
Sure.
That will say things like, oh, well, here's, you know, six or seven different different remedies to take for flu, and here's one for cough, and here's one for cold. Most people don't understand how to use those, so that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, and now isn't when you get one of those potions or elixirs or whatever they are, isn't the definition of homeopathic medicine that it's been watered? You take the original medicine and water it down to the point where it's practically non-existent, and then you take that what's left, and that's your homeopathic solution. Is that a simplistic way of explaining it?
Well, that's a very basic way of explaining it. So, for example, let's take the remedy arnica. So arnica is a common remedy that most people know about because it's used for trauma. So it's a great remedy to take after you've done too much exercise or you've fallen off your bike. And the arnica is made from the mountain daisy. And it was first discovered, or the healing properties of it were first discovered by these homeopaths in Switzerland who would sit at the mountaintop and they would watch these mountain goats. And every time a mountain goat would fall, it would sit down and it would go over and eat this mountain daisy. And so the homeopaths thought, well, there must be some intrinsic healing property within this plant that the animals are eating. So what they did was they did what's called a proving on a remedy, where they took a small amount of this daisy, this mother tincture, they put it in this daisy, they put it in water, which makes a mother tincture. And then they take one drop of that mother tincture and they put it in 99 drops of water and they succuss it and dilute it out. Mm. And they do that several times until they've done it at least three or four times.
But now it's not there anymore, right?
Well, as you dilute out the material substance or the herbal properties, what you strengthen is the energetic or the vital force of the substance, so that everything in nature has an energetic component as well as a physical component. So homeopathic remedies work at stimulating that energetic or spiritual or energetic component, what the Chinese call qi and what the Ayurvedic doctors call prana, and what in homeopathy we call the vital force.
Yes, and there's so much documented success around the world, mostly the Eastern world, with all of this. And if you want to learn more about it, it does sound interesting. If you want to explore this further, you should read Dr. Kathy Fry's book. It's called Vitality, How to Get It and Keep It, A Homeopath's Guide to Vibrant Health Without Drugs. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. We could have a completely one or two more interviews just talking about this with you, but we're out of time for now.
Oh, it's so fun. I love it. I gave up being a surgeon to become a homeopath because it's that powerful.
And visit the doctor's website. Kathy is spelled with an I at the end. So Dr. Kathy Fry, FRY.com. So DrKathiFry.com. And we'll add that to our links page as well. Dr. Fry, thank you so much.
My pleasure. It was great talking with you.
Same here. Now, here's what's happening. How's your March Madness bracket looking? Pretty good, I suspect. Yeah, right, especially yours, Gonzos.
Yeah.
Pretty good if you kept all your number one teams, right? Can we possibly have a Final Four made up of all number ones? The Sports Princess joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Let's talk March Madness, shall we? Joining us live is the sports princess, NBC Sports Radio's Kate Delaney. Hey, Kate, how are you?
Phil, I lost all my brackets. I set them on fire just the other day. Michigan State jammed me up, brother.
Oh, you and everybody else. I mean, the tournament started off with a handful of big upsets, yet the number one teams made it through. In fact, they're still there, and two have moved on to the Great Eight. And we find out today if the other two make it. How possible is it this year that we have a Final Four consisting of all number ones?
You know what? It's crazy. That's happened very rarely if you go back and look at the history of this great tournament. And I think it is highly likely. I mean, you know, I will say, heading into the tourney, I picked North Carolina flat out to win the whole thing. A lot of people love Kansas. I think the miracle, of course, Virginia also hanging in there. We'll see what happens against, you know, Iowa State. I think the miracle team left in this tournament. It'll be interesting to see what happens with them, because you could have made the argument that they could have been the number one seed is Villanova, where the Wildcats have had no luck. Boy, they just shattered Miami the other day. So we'll watch what happens with them.
Well, I have all the odds, too, for all the regionals. And just looking at Villanova and Kansas, you say a lot of people like Kansas. Kansas is 10 to 11.
Yeah.
And Villanova's 12 to 5. I suck at this ranking thing that people use when they want to figure out who's going to win something. So I don't. It goes back to the horse racing. I just have a mental block when it comes to what's better, 1 and 2, 2 to 1. I don't know. It's math. It hurts my brain. So what's better here? 10.
Well, it comes down to if you're trying to make money on the bet, Phil. That's
exactly.
Really,
yeah, it does. So I don't know. If I'm looking at the big board and I see Kansas 10 out of 11 and Villanova 12 out of 5, which is a better bet? I don't get it.
You want the long shot a little. If you think the long shot in the matchup is going to win, they have a better chance to win, then as far as the money you have to lay down, that's what you want. Absolutely.
So I got to spend $12 to make 5 on Villanova? Is that what you're saying?
That's huge, isn't it? Sign me up for that. Yeah.
But did I get the math right? Have I figured it out now?
That's what it is, absolutely.
So Kansas, I spend $10 to make 11. So that sounds like a better deal.
Yeah, theoretically, I guess it is. It's not. Neither one is really a good deal.
Yeah.
Your value was early in the tournament with an upset.
Right. Okay.
Hey, now with the possibility of like all number one seeds, you know, making it to the end, does this mean like the people who just when they do their brackets, they just, you know, oh, that's a low number, that's, you know, a low seed, I'm going to put it at the top of my bracket. Is that going to mean we're going to have some people winning the office pool?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What happens is the different combinations, you know. I did research for my book, Invade the Man Cave, trying to nail exactly how many people fill out brackets and what are the odds. And there is no sure thing. My unscientific poll basically told me you got 110 million people that fill out brackets, and you have a one in quintillion chances of the perfect bracket anyway. So you're just trying to knock everyone else out. So you're right. You look at those top numbers, and someone's going to have that.
Yeah, well, 2008, Greg, was the last time, and I don't know if it's the only time, but it's the last time that we had all four of the number ones in, and that was the Steph Curry year, wasn't it?
Yep, yep.
And he's done all right for himself.
I think he's probably the best player in basketball right now. He is the king of the three. Nobody throws up the ball and gets nothing but net from three-point land like Steph Curry. He's amazing.
Yeah. All right. So let's break down the regionals. We have the West. There's Oklahoma, Oregon, Duke, and Texas A&M. And who do you like there?
I like Oklahoma.
Okay. All right. To come out of the West. Now the South, there's Kansas, Villanova. You said you like Villanova. There's also Miami and Maryland. And so who's coming out of the South?
Oh, Villanova.
Okay. All right, I'm going to remember all of this, and this is what your bracket looks like, right? You already said North Carolina is going to win the East. There's also Indiana, Notre Dame, and Wisconsin, and for the Midwest, Virginia, Gonzaga, and Iowa State, and Syracuse.
Yeah, boy, I like Gonzaga, but I got to go with Virginia.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Well, as long as Gonzaga is still in it, then I'll watch.
Gonzo Greg likes Gonzaga.
The only team I root for.
The Zips. I love it.
By the way, Kate's book, which she mentioned, Invade the Man Cave, is indeed available for sale in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. That's just how on top of things we are here on this program, Kate.
That is awesome. In the store, you already put it up on the rack.
Oh, yeah, it's there. You have to walk up and thumb through it and take it home after you pay for it.
That's good.
Don't be sitting in the Barnes & Noble and reading the whole book and then putting it back on the shelf. That's thievery.
Yeah, you're into my plan, Phil.
Don't you hate that? That's what my Barnes & Noble looks like. It's some kind of airport lounge, and they've just called the flight off again. And you pick up the magazines, and they're all smudged.
Yeah,
you can tell when it's popular. Like the swimsuit issue, SI, forget about it.
Yeah,
smudges on every page.
I know it, and you don't want to know what that smudge is. And Kate, and as an author, how is it different? How different is it? Is it different at all when somebody's sitting at a Barnes & Noble and they read your book and then they stick it back on the shelf? Or if they let's say you're a musician and you write a song and they download your song for free on one of those downloading, sharing file sites. Is it any different than what people are doing at Barnes & Noble reading your book than it is when people illegally download a song?
No, I think it's kind of the same thing. I mean, maybe you should be able to get just a taste and peruse. We're not perusing anymore. I mean, we are lounging, and especially now they have Starbucks connected to so many of the B&Ns that people go and grab their Joe, and then they go and grab their book or magazine, and they come back the next day and finish the rest of it off.
Yeah. All right, back to the final, to the March Madness. Who are the one or two players that are going to be the equivalent to Steph Curry, or at least good enough, the NBA superstars who are going to emerge from this year's March Madness?
Wow, that is such a great question, and I was thinking about that the other day. I'll tell you, for Oklahoma, there's a kid that is just a stud. His name is Buddy Hield, and he's unbelievable. You know, a lot of scouts are looking at him, and it depends on translating from college to the pros as to where he would fall, but I think he gets drafted pretty high. And it's been fun to watch him because he moved the ball, busted down the lane like nobody I've ever seen and in a long time. And I really, really like him. Great ball handling, great defense.
All right, one more guy, and then we got to go.
Josh Hart for Villanova. Again, same thing. Great defender. He plays both sides of the ball, and he's a difference maker on the court.
And you've got North Carolina winning the whole ball of wax, right?
I got him winning everything.
All right. Very good. Kate Delaney, the sports princess, you hear her on NBC Sports Radio, and read her book, Invade the Man Cave. Thank you so much for being on the program, and go North Carolina, I guess.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. You too. Yep. All right, that's it for Hour 1. So much more coming up, including Manny the Movie Guy. Yes. Will he say Batman versus Superman sucks, like a lot of other people are saying? And plus, is lard okay to sprinkle all over your French fries? That and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. It's a packed hour. Some of the stories we have for you. Are you on board with the Guns N' Roses singer becoming the AC/DC singer? Hey, stop texting at the concert or else. Manny the Movie Guy reviews Batman v Superman. Please return your VHS movie rentals. Please. Watch your mouth, young people. Watch your mouth, or your browser will do it for you. And is it okay to start eating copious amounts of animal fats again?
Oh, I hope so.
I'm Phil Hewlett. Thank you for listening. That voice you hear there is the guy behind Gonzo.fm, Gonzo Greg Spillane. And let's get started with you, Gonzo.
Uh-huh.
You always have something to talk about. And tell us about this dude who...
I'm going to tell you about my man, my friend, James Myers Jr.
Yes. What did he do?
He's down in North Carolina, and like a lot of us, is up in the morning driving his kid to school. And he gets pulled over because he's got a taillight out, because that's, you know, the most popular reason to get pulled over.
Sure. See, and so then they get to see if you're up to something no good.
Right, and they were looking to see if James here was up to no good, and in the process of finding out, they happened to discover that there was a warrant for James's arrest, and it dated back to 2002, and he kind of didn't know about it. And the warrant was for failing to return a VHS rental tape to a local video store.
Wow. And how many years ago again?
Let's see, in 2002. So
that's 14 years.
14 years worth of overdue rental fees on the Tom Green movie, Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, so he forgot he had it.
Actually, I think he did America a great service by keeping that movie out of circulation for 14 years.
It was a bad movie, wasn't it?
It was not a very good one.
No.
In fact, so bad that Roger Ebert, back when he was with us, had commented that in his scathing review, this movie doesn't scrape the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't the bottom of the barrel. This movie doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence with barrels. It was how Roger Ebert put Freddy Got Fingered.
This is why we don't see Tom Green in movies very much anymore, do we?
Not much at all. In fact, Tom Green has so much time on his hands, he found out about this because it kind of went viral. The guy put a video up on YouTube saying, I went to jail for this movie. And he actually, I guess, wanted to reminisce and actually watched the film. Presumably not on the VHS, but online or something.
Does it hold up?
I don't think so. But what did happen is Tom Green found out about it and actually called the guy at like 1:30 in the morning and said, hey, thanks for watching the film or something. But the guy was pretty blown away to get a call.
Tom Green called up and said, please continue to talk about me. You're reviving my career.
The guy got hauled downtown, put in handcuffs for failure to return rental property, a misdemeanor.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Oh, well, in that state, it's a misdemeanor. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, because I'm sure I have a library book somewhere.
Yeah, J&J's video, which, by the way, is no longer in business.
No?
They're sadly, surprisingly.
Then he should be absolved of that crime.
You would think, but apparently not.
All right, now, when you're on the internet, or as you call it, the internets, use to cruise around, to surf the web, you use a browser. You've got your Internet Explorer, you've got your Netscape, you've got your Chrome, among others.
Sure. And I use the Chrome a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, because it talks to all the other Chrome browsers in your phone or in whatever device you're using, so I find it handy. And it has a thing, it has a lot of extensions that a lot of other browsers don't have. So there are things that they're like a plug-in for your browser for it to perform a certain function.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and like to get liquored up and go on the internet and troll and call people horrible things, sometimes, you're maybe not using the best judgment if perhaps you've had a few.
Yeah.
And now there's an app for that. There's a plug-in, a Chrome extension called Reword that will work kind of like a spell check for you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so if you're getting on there and you're going to start a flame war with somebody, it starts to like cross out things that maybe you shouldn't say.
Just profanity, or does it take out phrases that are inflammatory?
Both. It does both. It looks for profanity, and there's a website, I guess, where you go
and you can, like, if their team has missed some phrases maybe that the kids are using that they didn't recognize, it'll put that in there too.
Is this for people who tend to get themselves in trouble because they don't count to 10 before they click send?
Yeah, I think it's for that. It's targeted for young people who are kind of, they're trying to teach them to have some civility on the internet, because there is that, you know, you're anonymous and you can say whatever you want. And it's a big problem with the kids today.
Young people today.
Right. Exactly. So it's designed to sort of drop some knowledge on these kids to, mm-hmm. Think before you hit send. But I think I'll find it helpful because I know people who actually set up identities on the internet simply for trolling.
they
just become a completely different, entity,
yeah,
and just, you know, put everybody on blast, which, there's a certain attraction to that, right?
Yes, of course.
You just go out there and just go for it, man. Just spew forth your hate.
You troll.
That's what the internet is for. It's for trolling.
Watch this. I'm about to weave something from the first hour into something in the second hour.
Mm.
When you were talking about the Rolling Stones playing in Cuba.
Cuba, yeah.
The Pirates of the Caribbean franchise already got a Rolling Stone when Keith Richards played Johnny Depp's father in At World's End and on Stranger Tides.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Pirates of the Caribbean is getting a Beatle. Paul McCartney has filmed a scene for the next movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. There's no word who he'll play, but it sounds like he's going to be...
He's going to be Angela Lansbury, isn't he?
Oh, I hope so. That'd be
pretty
great.
Much the same person,
that
right?
That would be awesome. And how does this weave into the second hour? Well, our movie reviewer...
Yay!
Manny the Movie Guy is fighting to get on the air as soon as possible to tell you and me and everybody else about this weekend's offering. And he joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is a man who can't wait to tell you what's playing this weekend. No, really, he can't wait. He's got to catch a plane. KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
Or hitch a ride with Superman, either or.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going, by the way?
I am visiting Mommy for Easter, and she lives in Branson, Missouri.
Branson? Wow. Wow.
So I'm actually doing a tri-state thing. I'm doing Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana.
Does mom work at one of the theaters? I mean the theaters.
She used to. Shoji Tabuchi.
What?
Yeah, she used to be like a costume designer for Shoji Tabuchi.
Oh. That Shoji Kabuchi show is really something else, I understand.
Beats working at Cracker Barrel, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess it does. Now, there's Manny, there's a little indie film. I think some college kids made it about a couple of guys who get in a fight in an alley after a raging cosplay party.
Right.
And it stars Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck. Can you tell us about it? What's it called?
That's right. It's a little movie called Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. And all I can say is, wow. But before you say yay, if you're a DC movie fan, that wow is a double entendre. First, it's wow for the confidence of the filmmakers for pitting the two most iconic superheroes against each other. And wow for pulling it off half-heartedly.
Oh.
I am a DC fan. I love DC more than Marvel since I was a little kid. And I was kind of, I wanted more. I am expecting more. And can you blame me? I mean, they've been showing this trailer and they've been exciting you forever and ever. But here's one thing, though. I mean, and I'm going to keep this review spoiler-free because director Zack Snyder had requested before the movie started, there's a little clip of him saying, please keep it spoiler-free. And I'm going to do the same thing. All you need to know, there's Batman fighting Superman, and there's the dawning of the Justice League, a superhero team much like Marvel's The Avengers.
Well, you know what else I want to know, and tell me if this breaks the rule. Mm. Is Ben Affleck any good as Batman?
Yes. That's actually part of my good. I just want to tell you the good parts, the cast. All of them. Henry Cavill is much more at home in playing the Man of Steel. And, of course, Ben Affleck fits in nicely as our brooding Dark Knight. The whole detective story of the film actually fits his character and his acting better. Even Jesse Eisenberg as a mysterious Alexander Luthor is memorable. But the two women, for me, are the ones who really stole the show. There's Amy Adams as Lois Lane, who wants to clear Superman's name. And then, of course, there's Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay. Now, Manny, I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone and ask you to think out of the box. Mm. Is Wonder Woman hot?
Oh, God, yes.
Absolutely.
If you hear me say that, then that means she's really hot.
That's right in the comfort zone. And how's Batman's codpiece? Is that, how'd he do?
There's no codpiece. I was looking for it. I didn't see any. On his nipple. Remember that?
No bat nipples this time, huh?
No anatomically correct.
No bat codpiece.
Well, it's back in the utility belt.
Some of the good, too, is, you know, that I told you earlier, the narrative unfolds like a true crime thriller. It's got great special effects and action scenes, and they're all right here. I mean, see it in IMAX if you can. The bad part. Here's the bad part. At 2.5 hours, the movie is long, and it feels long. It belabors in telling a story that could have been told in under 2 hours. Mm. The movie shines when Batman is doing all his detective work thing and falters when Superman questions his identity. Yeah. Yep, he's still doing that. Mm. Now, I have a feeling, though, that this movie was made not to advance the mythologies of Batman and Superman, but to make us clamor for Wonder Woman. And on that one, the filmmakers succeeded. Plus, there's the biggest, and I'm not going to reveal to you anything, but there's a big plot twist at the end that just didn't work for me.
Oh.
There you go.
All right. Now, looking at the list here of what's out this weekend, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Really? Why?
I know, exactly. We all said
so
the original My Big Fat Greek Wedding in 2002. It was a small movie that could. It came out of nowhere, and thanks to Tom Hanks and his production company, it became the number one romantic comedy of all time, north of $300 million. But just like Dumb and Dumber 2 and Zoolander 2 before it, the wait is too long. The magic is over. There's still a little bit of magic, though. Nia Vardalos co-wrote the script again, wrote the sequel. But the problem is, in its relentless goal to be wide and broad as possible, Vardalos relegates herself to a supporting role, and it's a big, big mistake.
Yeah.
This time it's a bunch of Greek stereotypes, Greek family stereotypes, and honestly, how many times can a family mugging for the camera while holding their homemade spanakopita be funny? Not even once. But sadly, those are most of the jokes in the film. Like a big fat gyro sandwich, once is enough.
You know, if they hand out some sandwiches and some spanakopita at the theater, I might go watch this.
Right. By the way, is it gyro, gyro, hero,
gyro, gyro. It's
gyro?
Gyro, yes.
Gyro. See, I'm from Chicago, and we call it gyro.
Give me a gyro. All right, now, for the last few weeks, you've been telling us about movies that nobody's heard of as your picks of the week, and this time you've gone even deeper.
Divert your attention to movies that you really have to see.
All right, so you've gone even deeper, beyond the big screen for this one.
Beyond the big screen. This one is out on iTunes. It's called They're Watching. It's a creepy, creepy movie, but it's also so funny, it's creepy. And that's when a scary movie really works for me, at least. Because, you know, in order for you to be scared, you have to kind of sort of laugh at the things and laugh at yourself for being scared. Now, this one is the found footage genre. They're Watching tells the tale of a group of American TV crew making a House Hunter-style reality show in the quaint and mysterious village of Moldova in Eastern Europe. The first half of the film is fantastic when you meet the characters. It's the highlight for me because, you know what, for a small film, actually, they develop the characters really, really well. That's not to say the second half is not as equally strong. It's actually scary, and you'll find out who is really watching and why. So take note, it's called They're Watching.
All right. And we're always watching you, Manny, at MannyTheMovieGuy.com.
You better.
And, of course. Say hi to Mom for us.
I will. Thank you so much. And you guys have a wonderful, wonderful Easter, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right. Talk to
safe
you
travels.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's right. You're off
that's
next
right.
week. Okay.
Bye.
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 Kind of hard to find somebody to replace Manny.
I would say impossible.
Yeah, impossible.
without a doubt.
Impossible. let's see. Where are we? Oh, you know what? But if you're not watching movies, you're playing video games. You a big video game player?
No, I'm not really.
No?
No, not really. Not since Space Invaders. I mean,
well,
really.
Yeah, there's more, there's better games these days. You know, the one that sells a ton and it makes everybody mad, makes the parents and the teachers and the priests mad, is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I saw this, and you know, I'm aware of the game, and I know lots of gamers and lots of people who love the game, and I stumbled across something that I think is absolutely awesome that somebody's done. They've done a mod to Grand Theft Auto. So now, depending on which version of the game you play, this guy created a indestructible teleporting deer that will...
A deer?
A deer, like...
Bambi.
Bambi.
Right, exactly. That kind of pops up in the middle of Grand Theft Auto, which is all about, you know, gangland gun battles and stuff like that. So, yeah, you'll be playing Grand Theft Auto. You'll be in the middle of the shootout, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a deer in the middle of the game, which has so far since he unleashed it, this mod of automated character into the game. He's been in, yeah, gun battles, invaded the military base, been chased around by the cops. And he's impervious to harm, so it can keep on wandering despite being regularly shot at, beaten up, run over by cars and trucks.
People use up their valuable ammunition shooting at the deer because they wanted to get out of the way.
He's been shelled by tanks. He's fallen off buildings, yet he'll continue to poom, you know, pop up in the middle of wherever in the universe that is Grand Theft Auto. So at one point, he was such a pain in the butt that he gained a four-star wanted rating in the game. So, like, if you can find him and get him and bring him in, you would, you know, get points. But he is indestructible and wreaking havoc, as it were, in GTA.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Kind of makes me want to play the game. Now it kind of has an appeal to me, you know?
When you're cruising around, do you still use, in your car, do you still use a map? Or do you ask for directions, or do you use the Google Maps or something?
Oh,
I use
the Google lady always to tell me where to go.
Yeah,
because she when you put it in, she's like, okay, turn right. Okay, you're on your way. You know, and your route is clear. You'll arrive at 712. Which, by the way, she lies about that.
Yeah,
she lies right. about how soon it's going to be till you.
I just wish that she'd pay attention to when I'm in the diamond lane, because she can't figure that out yet.
Yeah, and she's also often unclear on exactly where she's sending you.
Oh.
And this speaks to something that happened in Texas recently. In Texas, they have tornadoes, and homes become damaged by tornadoes, and this happened, and a demolition crew was dispatched to tear down a tornado-damaged house. I think you know where this is going.
I think I do.
Yeah, the demolition crew showed up at 7601 Calypso Drive, found the damaged home, and demolished it, except for the fact that they were supposed to demolish the one at 7601 Cousteau Drive, which
no.
was one block away. Yes.
No. Well, that sounds like a data error, garbage in, garbage out. Whoever put in the address put in the wrong address.
Seems like there was some mess up, yeah. The devastated homeowners of the house that was torn down, that they weren't, it was damaged by tornado as well, but they hadn't decided what they were going to do yet.
Yeah.
They contacted the demolition company, initially received no apology. An employee sent them a screenshot of Google Maps, you know, Street View, showing it the arrow pointing to the house.
Yeah.
And the president of the demolition company said, "That's not a big deal." Quote,
right.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, somebody just lost their house.
House is gone. Not a big deal. Brian Funderburk, who is the city manager in the town where this all happened, said, "I think this is a very big deal."
Yeah, somebody's going to have to build this family a new house. And who's it going to be?
Right, exactly.
Google Maps ain't going to build a house.
I have walked into the wrong house party because of Google Maps at one point.
How'd that go?
It was odd.
Yeah.
There was a party going on. It was a party I didn't expect to know a lot of people at, but the party was going on, and, you know, the doors kind of open, so you just walk in, and I'm hanging out, and after a few minutes, I'm like, I don't think I'm at the right party. But it didn't stop me from having a drink or two.
No. So, yeah. And then when they realized how creepy you were, they kicked you out.
I just kind of wanted to.
You want to know something else creepy? Who's James Cameron? You know who that is?
Movie director dude.
Oh, yeah. Big time movie director.
Right.
The movie about the Smurfs from outer space.
The Smurfs. Yeah, the blue Smurf people.
Yeah. And the Titanic movie.
Titanic.
Among others. And there was that one where he got in a submarine and he went way deep into the water and just.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Whatever that was. James Cameron. Anyway, he drew the topless picture of Kate Winslet that was used in the movie Titanic.
Now, really?
Is that a little creepy or is that just kind of cool?
No, that's a lot creepy, isn't it?
Well,
like if the director is drawing you nude, although I don't know. She went on to do
other naked movies.
Yeah, other naked movie. And one, she was on top of James Gandolfini doing things and being rather naughty about it.
Yeah?
I forget what that film was, but yeah.
Actress. That's acting right
she
there.
She was
a method actress.
Oh, right. She was quite saucy. She was.
Baseball stadiums, Greg, are really taking over from state fairs and the best places to find insane, unhealthy food monstrosities. Oh. The Atlanta Braves just announced that when the baseball season starts, they'll be selling a new cheeseburger that uses two pizzas as buns. It's called the Burgeritza. And it's got a 20-ounce burger patty, five slices of cheddar cheese, and several strips of bacon, and two 8-inch pepperoni pizzas as buns. And they'll sell it to you for $26. And in theory, it's meant to be shared, but I don't think you're going to.
I don't. And I think, you know what, that's $26 well spent to distract yourself from the amazing amount of boredom that's happening on the field in front of you.
Now, here's a question. Are animal fats making a comeback? I mean, in your diet, they're apparently are changing attitudes about this. Pass the lard, will you please? We talk with an expert all about this next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. For years, we've been told to cool it on the animal fats in our diets. We'll get plaque in our arteries, get a heart attack, and die. Right? That's what we've been told forever. Well, attitudes about this just might be changing. I want to bring in our next guest. He's a fourth generation in his family to own, operate, and oversee Coast Packing. That's a leading supplier of animal fat shortenings throughout the western U.S. He's the CEO there. He also serves on the board of directors and executive board of the North American Meat Institute, or NAMI. And interestingly enough, and I'm not sure it applies to this conversation, but it's just cool and worth mentioning, he's a member of all of the following: the National Hot Rod Association.
All right.
National Muscle Car Association.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific Streetcar Association, and West Coast Hot Rod Association. Now, there's a conversation we could just have on another day. But
yeah, I don't think you have any speeding tickets, do you?
Today, we're talking animal fats. Eric Gustafson, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. How are you today, sir?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here. So your business has been plugging along over these many years when your business has been indirectly demonized by the prevailing dietary attitudes, federal nutrition guidelines, and all of that, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So what has changed, if anything?
Well, it seems like a lot, and more so in the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years artificial trans fats has come front and center as the latest bad fat in the crosshairs of the public eye and regulators. So that's really been, I think, one of the biggest catalysts that we've seen. And we've had other ethnic groups that have embraced animal fats for many years that have helped to obviously carry our business forward for us. And that's certainly laid the foundation for what's occurring right now in front of us.
Now, let's say I'm a big company, a chain of restaurants, and I'm being forced to show on my menu the calorie count, the grams of fat, all the stuff that they tell you to put on the menu now next to every item. And be honest with you, I don't read those very carefully, but just the same, they're forced to do it by government guidelines. So, you run the business. You're the CEO. You're the best salesman of the company. Sell me on using more animal fats to in my recipes that I sell to my customers. I want to hear the pitch.
Absolutely. Well, I think first and foremost, the type of restaurant really, I think, dictates where animal fats has a great fit. And when you go out to eat, you know, a lot of it is the experience of being with your family and your friends and enjoying the food that you're going to eat. And animal fats really make fried foods taste better and really better for you when compared to vegetable oils, vegetable shortenings, the artificial trans fats, because ultimately animal fats are more natural and minimally processed. So it comes down to taste, and I think a lot more people, customers, consumers are more focused on the taste and the atmosphere of how that comes together in a restaurant setting. And we're seeing that occur with a lot of the higher-end restaurants, steakhouses, high-end burger, you know, burger chain, burger restaurants that have kind of brought the hamburger out of just the regular, you know, type of hamburger and adding fun ingredients to it. So animal fat certainly fits into that, as well as some of the traditional Hispanic foods and other, you know, Asian markets and whatnot. So it really comes down to flavor and taste.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Animal fat brings your family closer together is what we're saying, right?
It does in ours.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Good. That's, well, I believe this too.
Yeah, I'm buying into this in a hurry. It's just tasty. Now, there's been a survey of young Americans, and I think what we call young Americans these days is millennials. Now, they're just a messed up bunch. but they perhaps are finding their way, and they have an opinion on this topic. The Ipsos, the Coast and Ipsos organizations, and they do regularly survey Americans on various topics, did a survey on this, and I know you've seen it, and I wonder what some of the key results of this survey are. What's the takeaway?
Well, I think you alluded to the fact that the millennials seem to have a much more open mind in regards to animal fats and the consumption of it, and I think that ties into, you know, people want to know more about their food, and they want to know that it's better for them, and they want to embrace the minimally processed. And, you know, the thing that we preach in our family is if you can pronounce what's on the label, chances are it's pretty darn good for you. When you get to the ingredient deck and you start looking at things that twist your tongue and you're not quite sure what it really is, it might be a good idea to put that back down and find something that is more minimally processed, essentially.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, what was really interesting is people in, and let's say my parents' generation, you know, even though my dad grew up in this business like I did, it's and that generation of people, you know, and the baby boomers, folks born in the 40s and 50s, who grew up around animal fats with grandma and their parents, tends to be more adverse towards that, which I thought that was very interesting. I would have figured that they would have still embraced it to an aspect, but I guess the 30 years of demonizing did its job.
Yeah.
Or either that or mom's cooking was just really bad.
Well, I remember this. Gonzo, I don't know if you remember this as well, but growing up, a lot of my friends' parents, if you went into the kitchen, there was a spot. It was either under the sink or next to the water heater or it was somewhere near the kitchen. They had a bucket, and it was just full of lard. And or it was like a big coffee tin full of lard, and there was a scooper in there. And then when it was time to fry up some food, they'd just go over and scoop up some of that lard and toss it in the big frying pan. And that was more or less a common way that people cooked back in the day. You remember ever seeing that sort of thing? How about you, Eric? You remember those days?
Well, I can remember growing up in our household. Certainly, if it wasn't you know, lard, since we happen to know a few people who could bring some home to the table for meals, we would certainly take the bacon fat,
yep, bacon
out of the frying pan and pour that through a coffee filter into a glass jar and then put that into the refrigerator and use that at a later time to make eggs or, you know, some other dish that mom wanted to do. Or sometimes she would blend that with a little bit of fresh lard here from our plant and make pie crust with it.
Now a lot of people who have gone through the 30 years of being inculcated by the information from the feds and others, the nutritional guidelines, are cringing when they hear you say that. But in this survey of millennials, was the prevailing attitude amongst the younger folks, hey, that's fine. Let's start using lard again. Let's taste all these animal fats in our food. Was that the prevailing attitude?
Yeah, it appears based on the research and the study that that millennial group has a much more open mind. I think also when you look at that same group and the chefs coming out of that, that I believe are becoming more classically trained and embracing butter and animal fats and more natural ingredients, that also helps drive that attitude within the millennial group, because they look to the chef as the expert.
Yeah.
And they see that chef touting, hey, on my menu, I'm calling it beef fat French fries, or I'm calling it French fries fried in beef tallow. You know, these things have become in vogue in a way, and it's becoming a renaissance again. And it's really interesting, because we've been seeing this happen, and it's like, in a way, watching a glacier move slowly through the water, but it's building up critical mass to some extent too. And it's really fun. I mean, I'm enjoying it, because it's somewhat of a verification of what we've believed here in our company for the last 30 years, even though we've been told we're the big bad guys in the industry.
Yeah. Well, and it could also be that the millennials are so screwed up and so depressed about life, they all believe that the earth is doomed, they're all going to die soon, so they should just celebrate and eat the most unhealthy food they can.
You can only eat so much kale. I mean, I say just go ahead and deep fry some kale.
That's right.
That's the new fair food this year, I think.
Yeah. All right. So I think the conclusion I could reach is this is not just you saying this so that you can increase profit over at your meat and animal fat shortening company. It's other people saying it, and the industry is changing, attitudes are changing, and for me, I'd say it's about time, because I could use a little tastier burger.
Well, I would agree with that, and that's one of the things that brought us out of the shadows, is seeing it happen organically, for lack of a better word to describe it, really is what motivated me to take a step back, evaluate it, and say, you know, we should really start to be in the forefront of this and work with other thought leaders and create coalitions that will help educate people and consumers. And that, it was an epiphany for me, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. I was sitting in a restaurant, and you would have never seen this 10 years ago, and certainly 5 years ago, I would have never thought. On the menu, it was a new restaurant. I'm sitting there. My wife and I are having lunch. And I look at the menu, and I almost fell out of my chair, and my wife's looking at me, and she knows me. She starts shaking her head going, oh, my God. And then I look for the manager, and I kind of wave over at him, and then she buries her head in the menu, of course, because she's embarrassed by me at this point. And on the menu, it said, fresh, hand-cut fresh French fries, blanched in tallow. and I mean, you know, you could imagine my eyeballs are jumping out of my sockets onto the menu, and I had to ask, and the manager said, "You won't believe how many French fries we sell, and people come here for our French fries.
Yeah,
they love them, and we sell them like crazy."
You know, sir, I have to continue to finish this program. There's another 15 minutes of the show left, and you're making it very difficult for me.
I was just thinking it's so close to lunch. Can we close early? Can we just go?
We will link to this Ipsos poll of young Americans on our links page, because it's very instructive, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll look for you to speed by on the highways. And one of these days, maybe we'll talk about your love for fast cars. Eric Gustafson, thank you very much for being on the show.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Phil, and greatly appreciate your time, and look forward to speaking to you again about cars or anything else.
Nice to know. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Up next, we will.
Lunch.
We
Lunch
will.
Is
no,
next.
No, no, no. We
oh.
we still have to discuss whether the Guns N' Roses singer, being the AC/DC singer, is a good idea, among other things. In our final segment of this edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends, next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
I'd like to welcome to the program all the vegans who heard that we just had the previous segment and they want to now protest the program. Welcome to the show.
They're hurling kale at the studio as we speak.
We're glad that you're here. Here's something we can all agree to disagree on. Whether Axl Rose, the lead singer of Guns N' Roses, should be the lead singer to replace Brian Johnson for the rest of the AC/DC tour. It's been a rumor. I've heard a couple of couple sources say that it's a done deal, but AC/DC is doing nothing to kill the rumor. Mm-hmm. A rep for the band says, quote, "There's nothing official to announce. We'll update you if that changes."
In the vast world of bad ideas,
yeah,
I think this is right up near the top, don't you?
Well, Axl has a reputation for being right on time and amenable to...
Very punctual and easy to work with, pleasant person to be around.
Effervescent and...
Right.
Wrong. He's, and there's a Guns N' Roses tour scheduled. Is it concurrent to the AC/DC tour?
I don't know, but it seems like, yeah.
A reunion show, at least, at the very least.
Well, there's the Coachella thing coming up, what, next week?
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I suspect is going to happen. The folks at Coachella, they'll be chanting, whatever, GNR, GNR, come on out on the stage. 4 hours later, they'll be hoarse, they'll have lost their voices, chanting for GNR. And then a guy will come out and say, he'll read a prepared statement. Mr. Rose, Axl Rose, has asked me to read this statement to you. He will not be appearing here. If you hadn't heard, he's the new lead singer of AC/DC. So stop your chanting and go home.
And last time I saw, last time you saw Guns N' Roses, how late were they?
I had to stand on stage for an extra half hour and vamp because I was introducing them to the crowd.
Half hour? You
got
away easy. I was.
But they were new. They were brand new. Their new record hadn't even been released yet.
Oh,
there was a single out from their demo that was getting played on our radio station at the time.
Right. You didn't see them during the glamour years of Axl and his bicycle shorts, right?
No. Did you get a chance to go out on stage and introduce them and vamp for longer than a half hour?
I was hanging backstage for 4 hours.
Oh, my.
And then was told that there's no DJ intro for Guns N' Roses. So it was all a pointless exercise.
Yeah. Well, still, you got to pay me because I was, no, get out of here.
No. That was a promo. It was supposed to be a promo for the radio station. And it was just a bunch of wasted time.
You've heard of the band Disturbed, right? And their lead singer, David Draiman, right?
He's the guy that did thing.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Down with the Sickness. That's their big band.
Yes.
They were playing a show in Dallas Wednesday night, and the singer, David Draiman, called out a woman in the front row of the balcony who had her head buried in her phone the whole night. He said, right there in the in between songs, "What is so important going on in the world that you need to be texting the entire effing show? Are we that boring?
Yes.
If you were up here and I did that to you, how would you feel? Seriously, it's effing rude." And he said that during the show.
What are you, Mozart? No, you're in Disturbed.
Here's an artist. A woman at a dance competition in Florida. Did we have to mention Florida?
It's Florida. Boy, Florida batting 100.
She wanted to stand out last Saturday by using rubbing alcohol to light her crotch on fire while she danced.
Wow. Well, that's...
That'll make you stand out.
Yeah.
She used a little too much, though, and couldn't put it out. So she ran off stage, and someone had to dump a beer on her, and she ended up with first-degree burns.
On her stuff.
On her crotch, yeah. There's a 9-second clip of this on YouTube. TMZ posted a longer video that shows the whole thing from a better angle. I don't know which would be a better angle.
But there's a conversation starter in a new relationship.
Yeah.
When you get to that point, what happened here?
Yeah. If you want to, so we're not going to post this one, but if you want to search it, just search "girl sets self on fire while dancing." Here's a nice story.
About time.
Are we ready for a nice story yet?
I think we could probably use one at this point, Phil. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Fine. A 32-year-old guy in Georgia tried to blow up a lawnmower last Saturday by packing it with 3 pounds of explosives and then shooting it, which worked.
But a piece of shrapnel from the lawnmower also took off one of his legs.
Holy crap. You did say this is in Florida, right?
No, I did not. No, this was Georgia. Close enough. It's
Georgia, yeah.
Right next door.
Florida adjacent, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That wasn't the good story. My mistake. A 51-year-old mailman named George Clifford was driving his mail truck near Pittsford, Vermont earlier this month, and he found a 72-year-old guy laying on the side of the road with no pulse.
Oh, dear.
He called 911, and they helped him do CPR. He says he used used to scuba dive a lot and taught some water rescue courses at one point, but he never really actually had to do CPR on anyone, which I think is most of us. We've never had to do that, so you'd be pretty nervous, and he was. But after some chest compressions, the guy took one huge gasp of air, started breathing again, and George ended up saving the guy's life. How about
wow.
that? Good for George, right?
Yeah.
Paramedics rushed the guy to the hospital. Doctors say he should make a full recovery. And to top things off, George, the mailman, kept delivering the mail and actually finished his route. And he says it took a little longer than usual because all he could think about was whether the guy was okay. Then the guy's son got in touch with him 3 days later to let him know that the old guy was all right, and George planned to meet the family in person earlier this week.
Well, that's because everybody in the neighborhood, you need your grocery store coupons, you know. You need those the grocery circulars to see what's on special down at the at the Kroger.
That's right. That's right. One last thought. It's Easter this weekend. Easter is the second biggest candy holiday of the year. Halloween is first, of course, followed by Easter. 87% of parents will buy or make an Easter basket for their kid. 81% of them will steal candy from their kid's stash.
Well, that's the point of the whole holiday, isn't it?
And 1.5 billion, I know you'll love this, 1.5 billion peeps are consumed each year.
Ugh.
And there are 35 flavors of peeps available each Easter season. And I saw on a website, I forgot what it was, Laughing Panda or something like that, something to do with a panda, where there's a recipe for making emoji poop peeps.
All right. Well, now I'm down with the peeps then, because they are poop. They are poop incarnate that's not actually poop.
I think we covered all the news that matters.
I think so.
Today. We love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's also a little blue tab there. If you'd just like to leave us a free voicemail with your computer, you can do that. And it's free, and nobody even asks you for an email address. You
can
just
record
your message to us. It's fun. We're on Twitter, at Faf Show. That's PHAF, like Phil Hewlett and Friends Show. We're on Facebook as well. Look for the page. Like the page. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Hey, Ryan, was that you in there the whole time? Hey, how about that?
He's real.
Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Brooke, for Gonzo, and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.